Well, today we conclude our series entitled More Than Basic. So throughout this series, we've been looking at little-known Bible characters and how they offer examples of God's work through unlikely individuals, illustrating that we are all more than basic. We began this series a few weeks ago taking a look at little-known Jabez and learned how to embrace a more than basic mindset and dream God-sized dreams. Then we looked at an unexpected heroine named Rahab and learned that because we are more than basic, we can make our mess our message. Then, last Sunday, we talked about obscure Abigail and how to embrace a more than basic lifestyle and shine like stars as God uses us to make peace in the world around us. Today, we're going to take a look at Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, and how in order to be more than basic as a church, we all need to work together for Christ's sake in the world. Throughout the series, we've also been having some fun with actual Legos. Towards the beginning of the series, we had an opportunity to write our name on a basic Lego. Now, this is a picture of our Legos with our names on them. As you can see, without kind of working together, our Legos don't really create anything unique, special, or extraordinary. But at the close of today's service, we'll take a look at the extraordinary masterpiece we create when we blend our unique gift abilities together to fulfill God's purposes in the world. Today, we're also going to take a look at another clip from the Lego movie. So if you haven't seen the Lego movie, the movie centers around Emmett, an ordinary Lego figurine, who was mistakenly identified as what is called as the special, an extraordinary being, and the key to saving the world. In this clip, our familiar characters are on the run from the evil Lord Business while still trying to figure out if Emmett really is the special. While fleeing from Lord Business, they decide to take a detour into Emmett's mind. They aren't initially convinced of Emmett's specialness, but then Emmett reveals something truly incredible. So let's watch.
That idea is just the worst. There must be something around here that proves his potential. If the man upstairs chose him to be the special, there must be a reason.
Who's the man upstairs?
See, he doesn't even know about the man upstairs.
Doesn't he have like super gross hands that look like they're made out of big pink sausages? Like eagle talons mixed with squid?
Wait, you've seen the...
Whoa! That's what I was just thinking about!
How did you...
I had this weird dream when I touched the piece. Well, I mean, I wasn't asleep, so it wasn't really a dream.
Emmett, you had a vision.
I did?
Master builders spend years training themselves to clear their minds enough to have even a fleeting glimpse of the man upstairs, and yet your mind is already so prodigiously empty that there is nothing in it to clear away in the first place. With proper training, you could become a great master builder.
I could?
The prophecy chose you, Emmett.
But I can't do any of the stuff that the prophecy says I'm supposed to do.
All you have to do is to believe. Then you will see everything. Are you ready, my son?
Yes, I am.
He thinks. All right, prodigiously empty. I think that's how Tammy would describe me. I don't know. But maybe we can all relate to Emmett in some way. He's discovering that he is special and more than basic, but struggling to embrace the reality of that notion. However, in the midst of his doubt, Emmett is encouraged once again to just believe. And as he does, he's reminded that he'll then be able to see the great potential within himself. Likewise, we all need to believe. We need to put our faith in and trust that we are who God says that we are. When we do, we'll see that in God's eyes, we are indeed more than basic. Ephesians 2, verse 10 reminds us this. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece, He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You see, the reality is we really are special. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you're special. You know, give them a fist bump, a high five. Wake them up if you have to. But remind them they're special. We are special in God's eyes. We are special. We are extraordinary. In Christ, we discover that we're that masterpiece handcrafted by the Creator of the universe to do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name. But we become most extraordinary when we work together for Christ's sake in the world. And that's what Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, taught him. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to take hold of it and follow along as we take a look at what Jethro teaches us about how to work together for Christ's sake and become more than basic as the body of Christ, the church. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. Back in the 1990s, there was a president of Harvard University named Neil Rudenstein. One of the major roles of a college president is to raise money for the institution so they can pay the salaries and other financial responsibilities of the organization. Rudenstein was very good at meeting that need. For 3 years, at the beginning of his tenure as president, he methodically raised, get this, $1 million a day. For 3 years, $1 million a day for Harvard. Now, the reason he was so successful was that he was passionate about every facet of his job. He focused on both the big and small things at the university. Besides spending 12 hours a day on a demanding job, he fretted banquet menus, argued about his $15 medical copay, and wrote notes to the football coach, the editors of the school newspaper, the various staff, as well as the dorm house masters. But one morning in November, he overslept and just couldn't manage to get out of bed. When he went to the doctor, he was diagnosed with severe fatigue and exhaustion. The directors insisted he take an indefinite leave of absence to recover. So that's exactly what he did. And he didn't return for the next 7 days. In fact, he didn't return for the next 7 weeks. In reality, he spent the next 7 months recovering from his fatigue. Now then, let's apply this to Moses. In Exodus chapter 18, we see that Jethro, the father-in-law, after watching Moses put in long hours, day after day after day, said to him, "This is not good. This is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." When Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, there were at least 600,000 men plus women and children. And all day long, every day for months, he'd been in the desert with these people, constantly serving as judge and arbiter over their many conflicts and disputes. As a result, the demand of this job is wearing on Moses. It's wearing him out. He's been doing this from early morning till late at night for several months. Jethro can see the fatigue in Moses' eyes and sees how haggard Moses appears each day. In addition, it's obvious that the people aren't real happy with the arrangement either. It's wearing them out as well. So have you ever stood in a long line at the DMV or the post office and gotten impatient if you had to wait more than a few minutes? I don't know about you, but that drives me crazy. Imagine what it would be like if you had to wait in line for hours on end to get service. Well, out in the wilderness, out in the desert, there's almost 2 million people 2 million people, and only one line to stand in to have your complaint resolved. We think standing in the line at the BMV is bad. Think about that. So we kind of get an idea here of what's going on in the desert with Moses and why the average Israelite and Moses are feeling a bit frazzled and frustrated. So in the midst of this chaos, Jethro realizes his son-in-law needs some advice. So he makes a suggestion. He says, Mo, you need help, buddy. Mo, you need help. And check out verses 19 through 29 of Exodus chapter 18. Here, Jethro says to Moses, now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. Good diplomacy. He then says, you should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them leaders over groups of 1,000, 150, and 10. In other words, don't quit doing what you're doing, says Jethro. Just learn to share the load with others. You see, God never designed us to work alone. It's an abiding principle in Scripture that when we work for God, we need to work with others. That's part of the reason Jesus didn't do ministry all by himself. He selected 12 men to work alongside him. And then when Jesus sent them out to do their work, he sent them out two by two. Why? Because trying to work for God all by yourself will wear you out. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, we read, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And in verse 12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. In science, this is called the principle of synergism. And synergism is two powers at work. It basically boils down to this idea: two can carry more than one. I read once about a horse pulling contest in Canada. The winning horse in the contest pulled 9,000 pounds. The runner-up pulled 8,000. Now, given that, if you add what they pulled together individually, it's safe to assume, I think, that together they'd be able to pull 17,000 pounds, but not so. When teamed together, those two horses pulled over 30,000 pounds, nearly twice as much. And that's part of the reason why Jesus created the church. You see, the fact is, the Christian life is not just a matter of believing, it's a matter of belonging. And we must choose, we must make the choice to belong. Fellowship begins with belonging, with making that choice. God wants us to identify and make the choice to be a part of his family. Have you ever heard somebody say, yes, you know, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't need the church. I don't need to be connected to any church. Well, unfortunately, if you think about it, that just doesn't make any sense. The church is where we live out what it means to be a disciple, a Jesus follower. To choose to live apart from the church is like saying, I'm a baseball player, but I don't want to be a part of any team. Or I'm a tuba player, but I don't want to be a part of any band. Or I'm a soldier, but I don't want to be a part of any platoon. It doesn't work. It simply does not work. A Jesus follower without a church family is an orphan. And God created us to be a part of his family. In order to be more than basic and used by God to do the extraordinary, we need to all work together. As the one-minute manager said, I read that little book years ago, no one is smarter than all of us. We work better together. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12:27 this. He says, "Together you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of that body." Again, bottom line, we are better together. And while the church is filled with imperfect people, well, not us, but some churches are filled with imperfect people, we're all people who, if we're honest with ourselves, are a lot like Emmett in the Lego Movie, who's struggling to see himself as God sees him, struggling to see himself as someone special. But when God's imperfect people band together as one and allow God, the man upstairs, to guide us by his word, we discover that we can accomplish not the ordinary, but the extraordinary. We can be more than basic as God works through us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do a great deal on his behalf. And so, when Jethro sees Moses trying to do his job, all that work, all by himself, he says, "This is not good, Moses. This is terrible. You need help." And what was true with Moses years ago in the wilderness is still true today for the church of Jesus Christ. So you and I, we are the church, and each one of us is a part of it. And since the church becomes more than basic when we work together, how does that work? Well, there are two things that need to happen. Here's the first. We need to clarify our calling. That's the first thing we do, clarify our calling. Listen again to verses 17 through 20 from Exodus 18. "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "This is not good," said Jethro. "You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives." You see, Jethro starts out by clarifying Moses' calling. He told him, in effect, that he was busy doing way too much stuff and needed to focus on his calling, on the areas of his life where God had gifted him. And the fact is, the most powerful principle of discipleship is about self-discovery. Every disciple, every Jesus follower must discover her or his own unique contribution. Jesus followers need clarity of their God-given gifts, skills, passion, leadership style, and what their life story has been preparing them for. And if we're not sure what our gifts are, then there are three simple questions we can ask ourselves to help us figure that out. Here's the first. Ask ourselves, what do I do best? What do I do best? The second question is, what do I love to do? So what do I do best? What do I love to do? And the last question, if time and money were no object, what would I do for God? So what do I do best? What do I love to do? And if time or money were no object, what would I love to do for God? Remembering that ministry is never a problem, it's always a pleasure. So what has God formed me to love to do for him? Answering those questions will help us see and envision and embrace what God is calling us to be a part of and what ministries we're being called to embrace. So that's the first thing we need to do to become more than basic as a body of Christ, as the church, is to clarify our calling. And here's the second. Use our gifts well. Clarify, then use our gifts well. You see, when we each clarify our calling and identify our gifts, abilities, and passions, when we each focus our energies on ministry opportunities that align with our strengths, again, remembering ministry is a pleasure, never a problem, and then together use our gifts well, God will work through us to make disciples for the transformation of the world. So the first step, again, clarify our calling. And then once clarified, step two, use our gifts well. Allow God to use us together to change the world one person, one need at a time. In Exodus chapter 18, again, we read this beginning with verse 24. It says, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice. He listened to Jethro's advice and followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. Moses heeded Jethro's advice and used his gifts well by getting other people involved. Likewise, you and I are more than basic as Christ's church when we work together using our gifts well. Everett Hale wrote a poem years ago entitled One. You've probably heard it many times before, but it goes like this. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do. And with the help of God, I will do. The fact is, you and I are only one. And it's true, like Moses, we cannot do everything, but we can do something. And what we can do, we should do. And with God's help, we can do it. And as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. The one thing we're each called to do with God's help is to use our gifts well, to use what God has given us so together we can do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name. James Robinson, in his book, Living Amazed, shares the following. He writes, the three smallest bones in the human body are the middle ear ossicles, commonly known as the hammer, anvil, and stirrup. The hammer is arranged so that one end is attached to the eardrum, while the other end forms a lever-like hinge with the anvil. The opposite end of the anvil is fused with the stirrup, so the anvil and stirrup act as one bone. Though the middle ear ossicles work in obscurity, completely invisible to the outside world, they are absolutely essential to our ability to hear. Check this out. Without them, only 0.1%, only 0.1% of the sound energy that hits the eardrum would be transferred to the inner ear. But because God has arranged these real tiny parts in a way that maximizes their leverage, they produce a sonic effect far beyond their small size. And just as the human body has no insignificant parts, the body of Christ has no small or unimportant members. We all have a sphere of influence, however large or small, however visible or invisible. And we all have a vital role to play in God's plan for redeeming and restoring the world. We may be as well hidden as a bone in the inner ear, an internal organ, or a foot inside a shoe. But every person, every single person is absolutely essential to the eternal purpose of God. And with that in mind, remember, in order for the Urbana United Methodist Church to be more than basic, we must all work together so that God can use us to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And when we all work together, when we clarify our calling and use our gifts well, God uses us to create something special, something unique, something beautiful for His kingdom. together, unified by Jesus' call and claim on our life, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, God forms us from something basic, just basic, to something more than basic, something extraordinary. What we see here with our Legos is a rendering of our new church logo and reminds us that we're called to fulfill our mission of igniting faith through service and our vision of reaching people far from God. Jethro's lesson for Moses was to quit trying to be a lone ranger and start working together. And what was true for Moses is true for you and me. The Church of Jesus Christ, we are all better together because none of us is as smart as all of us. So as we close today, I want to invite us all to make our pew or our chair an altar of prayer. And before we spend time in personal prayer today, think about these questions. Have I yielded my life, my entire life, to Jesus Christ? Have I asked God to mold me and make me after His will? Not my will, but His will be done. Have I really sat down and clarified my calling? Have I explored my passions and the gifts and abilities that God has given me? And am I using those gifts well for Christ's sake in the world? Remember, we become more than basic as a church and create something special and extraordinary only as we work together. And as Peter reminds us, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. So together, Urbana Church, so together, Body of Christ, so together, the people of God, the family of God, let's use our gifts well for Christ's sake. Let us be silent now before God.